Welcome, Carla.
Thanks for having me, Meg. Very good, very good. In this lovely surroundings. I'm not like a football fan, so very impressed, actually. I was expecting some dingy little, football hut, smelly boys and all that.
But, changing rooms. Yeah, we have done changing rooms in the past, but we thought we'd,
No, it's cool. It's very nice. I know you said you just had a refurb and stuff, so.
There's been a lot of investment in the last 2 years, thanks to our new American owners.
Shout out the American.
Shout out the American.
Yeah, no, but thank you for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for coming. So you are a boxer.
I am.
You have a promotion company yourself with Ring Girls.
Yeah.
So would you like to tell us where it all began, how you began in this industry?
Oh, way back when. So I was actually working in a school, funnily enough, and started in Instagram, started getting bits of modelling work and like promotional work there. I think I was just approached by an agency and they said, do you want some work? And then I started getting enough work where it was sort of surpassing the money I was earning. So I wasn't, not minted, but okay money. And to be honest, the only reason I started working at the school and going through my qualifications there was because my son started going and I just wanted to be with him. He left.
Familiar path for a lot of teaching assistants.
That's it. And then my daughter left as well. So I was like, oh. And then I was doing like one-to-one support work with a little boy and he'd transitioned up to big school as well. So there was like nothing there for me anymore. And I felt a bit like empty sort of thing.
Yeah.
Having lots of fun doing the promo work and modelling and stuff. So started doing that. And grid girling and ring girling and that sort of stuff came about and just started getting enough work where I was like, oh, giving it out to my friends. I was like, probably start an agency. And obviously I've got the kids. So it was thinking, how can I earn the money, but not be out 24/7, obviously send the girls out to work and do all of that. And obviously as a ring girl or grid girl or promo model, you can only really work like on the weekends and it's your money sort of capped. It's like, I can't multiply it or how can I earn some more money. So started doing that and then Misfits came about and I was like, yeah, I want to fight. I'd been around the boxing and stuff. I sort of the promo work took a back seat and I stuck more with the ring girling just because I really enjoyed the fight scene and stuff like that. And it's really exciting. And I was like, get me in the ring. But obviously I'm like 36, so a bit too old to go down the amateur or pro route or anything like that. And it was sort of like a blessing. It just came and was like, I kept thinking that, like, how can I do this and it be worthwhile? Because I've got the kids, so I don't want to be leaving them to go and follow something.
Jeopardize
like
that time.
Exactly. Yeah. For no sort of money or anything. So when it was like, well, this is work, I can get paid. It's something that I love, give the kids what they need and want. Fantastic. Got into Misfits, got a title shot on my second fight. Massive underdog, sort of proved everyone wrong. Been there ever since. Can't get rid of me now.
Did you have that lot of fighting instinct when you were younger? Was you ever interested?
I was asked this the other day, it's really funny, but not really. I was a bit of a tomboy, actually, funnily enough, but not so much fighting. Because I think someone asked me the other day, like, did you used to fight at school and stuff? I was like, not at all.
Made you angry.
What's really funny? Like, I think, because I was like, why am I getting asked these questions? But you sort of just touched on it there. It's like, I think you do have to be like angry to be a boxer. And I never really sort of get that. So it must be inbuilt in me somewhere because a lot of people wouldn't want to fight. I know a lot of my friends, I used to be like, come to sparring, go to boxing. And they're like, no.
Shot.
yeah, a spar day. But no, they're not that way inclined at all. And like, even like my mum, if I said to my mum, like, oh, would you ever box? Like, even if she was younger, she'd be like, no, she's very sort of placid and soft. And but I don't know what it is. There's something in me where I just want to, my dad's Caribbean, so he's got that fiery side to him. So maybe it's just that.
Just being around it, doing the promotion work.
Yeah.
Grew a bloodlust for it, seeing people being smashed in the face.
That's it. I think I like the excitement and I like, I get bored really easily and, I always want to be doing something. So I think just a combination of it all. And it's weird because I don't mind getting punched in the face as well. Like, so I think just a combination of all of that, I was like, yeah, let's do it then. Love it.
So touching on upon that, just reminded me of something that Connor said as well. So obviously you work quite closely with Connor.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to get over that punch in the face and not be like, oh, someone's punched me in the face. So once you get over that and you're just like, I'm getting punched in the face,
it's kind of,
you can then think, all right, well, I'm there to fight kind of thing.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, I imagine, just go, oh, I'm punched in the face.
And I think with Connor as well, it's a lot more intense because he does the bare knuckle. I can imagine that's like really like, whoa, I've just been punched in the face. Yeah. But I think that's where it sort of will separate people. You can either bear it or you can't. You either love it because I sparred girls that you can tell they don't like getting punched. And I think that's where a lot of times you'll lose. It's not for you. It's like you have to really not care and be able to, like you said, get over, oh, I've just been punched in the face. Because, you know, even like a second in the ring, if you're standing there, is enough for someone to wallop you, you know. So, yeah.
So you mentioned earlier how you manage yourself.
Yeah.
Which is quite unusual in these circles, isn't it? So how do you find working in this industry, it's male dominated, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
By its nature. So how do you find then kind of navigating as a woman?
Yeah, I think obviously I ran the agency and I rang the girls and managed them and stuff. So I think I had that little bit of experience. Obviously I'm no manager, I'm no sort of like a agent or anything like that, but I had that bit of experience to sort of navigate professionally and do things like that. With me, I'm quite like, I don't know what the word is, but I would like to say you can't walk over me. I'm quite like, I know what I want, and I'm sure there's been instances where...
Tenacious.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm sure if I had, I know, I don't know everything. I'm sure if I had a good management or, you know, someone that I would elevate a bit more, you know, I'm sure there's things that people could do for me, but for now I'm quite happy sort of looking after myself. And I think, like you said, in a male dominated world as well, I think it's quite easy for you to be taken advantage of or people not necessarily having your best interests at heart. And it means so much to me being in this space and, you know, having the title and stuff like that. And to be honest, like MAMS and Misfits are really great to work with. I think if they wasn't, I might maybe need someone else, but they've always been really fair, really transparent, even sort of like when I get my contracts and stuff, if I've ever got a query or a question or I don't like something, you can have a conversation. It's not where you think, oh, they've put that in there to do this or that. It's very, they're working for you, that we're working together. Like they're not out to get you. They want you to grow. You know, they want you to do well so they can do well. It's a real sort of like family and team at Misfits. They are really great in looking after you. It's not sort of like that sharky.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's really helped in not needing it. But
Your socials are quite really good. So I'm the socials guy. He's the guy who does all the
eye candy.
The eye candy, yeah, apparently, yeah. Do you find that works for you then? You can do social media in the day when the kids are at school. Do you think I struggle with it all? It's editing, social media.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Do you find that to dig at me?
No.
I'm doing it all.
I'm absolutely
piled
down with all these
biscuits.
Yeah, exactly. But no, so when you do, and I'm sure you will, make that step up then and you... people want that as more socials and stuff like that. Is that when it will become something that you might think, oh, I need to bring someone in?
100%. I think that you're perfect with what you said there. That is where, because although, you know, I do well on my socials, it's not a regimented, conscious sort of thing that I do. And I think one thing is this year, we're going to be doing a lot more on the socials. So I think definitely going to have to pull someone in to help me with that. That's one thing I don't know best with that. As much as it looks like I'm like, this social media girl, I've got no idea. Don't know. It's very like. Cut that bit out. I know everything. I'm perfect. For me, it's like because I've got the kids and I'm really busy. And like you know yourself, like it's a lot. And especially now, it's like the generation of social media. Everyone knows. There's so many people that do it better than me, and they know what they're doing and stuff. And it, like even the Misfits guys, they're wicked. And it was like Mams was saying something on a sort of like little a stream the other day, and it was like, Carla's not a content creator, which I'm not. I never came into the space as a content creator. Like, I never was doing this and that and doing the streams and doing the TikToks. That wasn't ever me. Like I said, I'm 36 years old. Like, I'm an old woman. I'm not running around doing pranks or like doing all that, which, you know, I'm sure is very fun. My thing is sort of like, I'll do something and just film me doing it. I'm like, this is me. Look at me. Like, and I think definitely Misfits is an influencer, content creator type space. And so now's the time to, you know, give back to that and be like, right, you know, what do you want, guys? What do you want from me? I'm here. So definitely stepping out this year. And like you said, we'll need someone. So if there's anyone out there that wants to apply, yeah. Hit me in the DMs and yeah, let's work together. But yeah, lots of exciting things coming this year in terms of that side of things. So yeah, very excited for that.
Brilliant.
So obviously you've got the belt, you are the champion, my undefeated. We were talking before about the kind of leap from fighting content creators type of fighters to actual fighters, which is what you're now doing. So is there no step back then to, because I saw you'd put on one of the clips that you'd fight Bonnie Blue if someone walked today.
Yeah. Yes. Do you know, I'm not going
to... that good?
Was that a subtle wording for that? Because that's
well, I don't know. I'm ever going to get away with not having to talk about her now.
Who is she? Oh, we're not allowed to acknowledge. We know who we are, otherwise.
But yeah, I think obviously she's quite a familiar face in the scene. A lot of people dislike her, so she does get brought up. And I think we have quite opposite sort of views and stances on, you know, how things should go and what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing. So I think that's why I get sort of asked about her and stuff. But back to your question, like the jump. Yeah, so I think the first two fights were influencer girls. Since then, it's been like the pros, the bare knuckle girls, the crossover girls. My next girl, she's a UFC bare knuckle girl. I got offered my first bare knuckle girl. It was her. They gave me three options. It was her. The other girl was sort of a professional as well. And so was the third girl. Melanie, I knew from the bare knuckle world. It's ironic because obviously she doesn't like me anymore. But I chose Melanie because they were all quite as tough as each other. They were all good sort of good opponents. I picked her because I was like, oh, I know her. And if she's a mum like me, she'll not appreciate, you know, but, you know, it's a good opportunity for her to come from bare knuckle. I know her from bare knuckle. She's, you know, hard worker. She's had some outrageous fights. I was like, come over to Misfits. Come over here, you know.
Reap the rewards.
It's a good time. Yeah, exactly that. So after like I said, I manage myself. So I think any management company would have gone, Carla, you've had two fights. Like, what are you on about? Just chill, fight some influencers. Why on earth would you want to fight this girl? But I'm quite like, yeah, you know, and I believe in myself and you know, I know we train hard and I know a lot of people underestimate me. So I was like, no, I can take this fight. But like I said, I think a lot of coaches, teams, managements would have said, take a step back because when I fought her, that was it. There was no sort of going back, and not because I wanted to step down, but I remember after that fight I wanted to fight AJ Vanka because we'd met each other, there'd been a few like sort of stuff. She's a great girl, she does well on her socials and stuff like that. She's like been in the scene from the start.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's a good influencer storyline. Yeah. Type fight. And they were like, no, you can't fight her, she's too easy. And I was like, what? They were like, you can't go from bare knuckle to, and that's no disrespect to AJ, just in terms of like her experience, her record and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, that's it now. You're in with the big boys. You can't go back.
She put that step, you know, that's
yeah,
it.
That's
yeah.
It. For, like, okay. President.
Yeah. So in your next fight, so if you're successful and you've got two belts,
isn't it? When I am successful.
When you are successful. Yes, okay. So will you be the first double champion?
I will. Again, Mam touched on that on a stream the other day. I will be the first Misfit that's double champ. But it's crazy because, like, I almost just manifest and just like then, like, just spoke it all into existence. Because even before they offered me the title shot, I put in my bio on Insta and the new. just one. I was like, I want to be double track, and I just, and he hadn't even offered me it, and I just put, and then you, and I think it's like 3 weeks later he went, yeah, do you want a title shot? And I was like, what? And then I kept saying last year, a little less manifest and probably a bit more hard work and putting things in place. But I said last year, I will be double champ next year. Like, mark my words, I will be double champ. And I kept being like, 2026, the year of the double champ. And lo and behold, we're only in January and I've got my second title shot. But I really just try and sort of cement to people that, like, if you work hard, be a good person, know what you want, and just be relentless with it, there really is absolutely, like, no boundaries on what you can do. Like, I didn't come from sort of great connections or, like, loads of money or nothing. I was just a normal person like everyone else. I didn't even have a load of followers. Like, you know, I was just hardworking. And when I got given my first fight, I had to wait, like, a year before I got that second title shot. But I just trained behind the scenes, worked really hard, just kept being persistent, believing in myself and being like, and there were times where I was like, oh my God, am I ever going to fight again? Like, this is, I can't keep training and spending money and, you know, this is like, but you have to have that bit inside you that believes so much that, no, it's going to pay off, I'm going to win. And it's genuine. I say things and I think people might think, you don't believe that. And I'm like, no, I believe it. Like, I believe anything I say, I genuinely believe it. I know that anything I want, I can, and not in a, like, ego way, but I think everyone's the same. Like,
yeah, as you get older, you realize that things aren't as hard.
Yeah, exactly that. When it starts working and paying off, you get a bit more sort of like faith in yourself, and you're like, okay, let's do that.
And you find other people at levels, and you think, I thought you'd be better at that than you are.
Yeah.
And then you've got, like, Donald Trump as president of the free world, and, like, the world's not a serious place anymore, is it?
Yeah, exactly that. And I think as well, it was being in spaces and surrounding myself with, like, high achievers and people that were, when I run the agency and was doing a lot of hostess jobs and sort of being in rooms with successful people and people that were like that, and they were, like, real go-getters, and having that, because I think, like, having a good mentor or good people to look up to is really important, because it becomes realistic, and then you can obviously take sort of advice and lessons and things like that. And because I do understand how it is easy for some people to think, like, oh, that's unachievable. That's because if that's what you're surrounded with and that's all you know, like, that's your sort of lid, that's as far as you're ever going to push it.
Yeah.
So I'm always just trying to be like, no, to the moon, guys.
Yeah.
Just go.
That's a mad lesson for the kids as well, isn't
it?
Yeah, I hope so. Like, I hope the kids are very proud. I know, you know, they say stuff and past comments, situations happen where they're now sort of like, I realize how proud they are, and it's like, honestly, I could, like, burst into tears. Like, they're so, especially my little one's 10, and she's so cute. She, you know, when you say something, it sounds so cliche, you know, like their mom's online, like, Cornelius at 15 months said blah blah blah, and it sounds like really made up,
like supermarket class.
But it's like, my daughter came home the other day and she said, oh, she keeps asking to bring the belt into school. And I'm like, oh, babe, no. Like, as cute as it is, I don't want her to be that kid, you know? And I was like, let's just not. But she keeps asking, I'm going to have to let her. And I made her a deal. I said, when I'm double champ, then you can bring the belts in. And she was like, oh, yeah, we had to, like, give inspirational people. So I said, you. But she was, like, dead serious about it. And I was like, oh, don't. And I was like, we were just getting out of the car. And I stopped. I went, oh, did you win? And I was, like, nearly crying. And she was like, what, my, like, trying to get out of the car. Get grip. And I was like, that's so nice. I was like, tell me what was said. Like, reenactive. Like,
I'll do it again.
And she was like, and then my friend was like, what does your mum do? And she's like, oh, she's a boxer. And then she was like, what's her name? And she's like, and then she put you in ChatGPT. And she's like, mum, are you the lightweight champion of the world? Like, and it was so cute. And I was like, I just adore you. Like, it was like, that's all I need. Like, to get that back. I'm like, and even my mum is so cute. She was like, she's very not social media. She doesn't know what's going on, bless her little heart. And she'll send me stuff. And she's like, I was Googling you the other day. Like, she'll just sit there and Google me. She's so cute. And she pulled up this article. I don't even know what it was, but it was just something about my boxing. And she's like, so proud of you. And honestly, it's like, that's all I want. Like, when people are like, oh, where do you want to go? How successful do you want to be? As much as, you know, money's great, things like that are great, I'd be happy now. Like, I'm quite, like, comfortable. And, you know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not some sort of mega millionaire, but I don't need loads of stuff. Like, I'm quite comfortable and quite happy, you know, as long as I've got a nice house for the kids, nice little car to bum about in, give me a couple of belts and I'm cool. Just so long as, like, they're really proud of me and I can teach them. And they've got that attitude now of like, you can just do it. Like they'll say, oh, I want to do this. I'm like, oh, go and do it then. Like my daughter, my biggest one, dog walks. And I was like, I said, why don't you start your own business? Like she pets it and does that. I said, why don't you start your own company? And they're all very much like me, but they're all very much not in their own ways. She's very chill. She doesn't want to be the big entrepreneur. She's just chill. And she's like, no, I don't want to, mummy. And I was like, you know, you can do anything. She's like, I know I can do anything. I know that. I believe that. I'm sure I could take it to the moon, but I'm just happy working. And I think some people are like that. Some people just like my mum's the same. She's not. My dad was very like, he had his own company, a computing company. He was, I think that's where I get that side from. My mum is like, oh, no, just let me go home and go to bed and have a cup of tea. I'm quite content where I am. Yeah. She's like, always say she's like a monk. Like she'd live in a box with nothing and just like read a book. Like, it's nice I can be that sort of role model for them.
I'm a firm believer that the harder you work, the luckier you get, though. So I think you kind of say that in opportunities are always, don't they?
100%.
So we talked about kind of divisive characters with Bonnie Blue and figures that are really kind of earning stuff. Tell us about Connie Circles with Andrew Tate, which is quite a...
Yeah, Andrew, it's so funny. It's crazy. Anytime I put anything on socials about, I didn't realise the influence that he has and how great his following is.
Like cult, isn't it?
It is. And when he said, I'm the most Googled person and whatnot, it might come across like arrogant and whatnot, but he really is. Like, it's, you know, I posted a reel about him the other day. And even now, like, if I could go on my phone and there'll be another comment, another share. Like, I think he's a great, like, I know he says some controversial stuff and things, but I do. And I'm sure people don't like some of the stuff I said.
Just the media have taken him and what he says, and you had like the adolescence program things like that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Everyone
yeah.
automatically essentially said that this guy is the downfall of every teenage boy in Britain, Europe. You know,
it is, yeah. I think people love to hate, is what I've realised recently. People, they love to hate, especially if you're successful and you're doing better than them. And, you know, I'll give people the benefit of the doubt where he does play it up and he does say stuff. But I think we all do. And, you know, there's lots of people out there that know how to play social media and do that. And if you're stupid enough and gullible enough to hang off every word that someone says.
Yeah.
And I do think it's quite misfortunate and unfair that he got sort of tainted and brandished and accused. And a lot of the stuff that is said about him, there's no truth in it. There's no, you know, there's nothing to back it up. And I think people can laugh comments off and joke comments off, and I'm sure he doesn't care. But when it gets to that level and it's like, oh, no, do you know what? That's actually really unfair. That's, you know, it's fair enough being held accountable for things that you're doing and being called, you know, people can call me like a villain or whatever. That's fine. Don't go out and say that I've like murdered someone or something if it's not true. Or, you know, I think at that we have to actually realise that although it's social media,
but the line
of words, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's, you know, I'm sure he's got family and things that.
Like you said, just your daughter Googling you and their teacher's Googling you and people you're going to meetings with. But it's a fine balance, isn't it, these days with engagement and content? That the engagement we get down the blues is that the Blues put on stuff and all the Villa fans kind of, and that's earning the Blues money. So there's got to be you pick yourself in the lines then a little bit, don't you? Okay. Clickbait this and comment on this, but then when they go too far, then you're kind of like, oh, did I want this?
Exactly. And I think that it is the world of social media these days. And even like when you talk about Bonnie Blue, excuse my language, she's a rotten individual, but...
Well, at least you know she wouldn't mind taking one in the face. Sorry.
Apologies.
Pause.
Cut that in.
But she even plays it up. Mm. Like, the underlying thing is she's not good. She's not doing things.
The other end of the scale.
Yeah. But she also does hype it up. And I think the whole world's doing it. And I think so long as underneath all your values and your cause and what you're doing is right, like even me, I don't mind. But everyone always assumes that I'm like this really horrible person. I'm going to come in and like spit on the floor and kick the table over and punch someone. And I always get a lot of like, oh, you're actually really nice. Like, or, oh, you're not like that bad. And I'm like, why does that? And then I remember, oh, yeah, because you're an absolute menace on social media.
Yeah. So like your head-to-head the other day with Coogan. And he constantly is having to say to you, look, you just give it a minute. Because you're on a case constantly.
But to be fair, it's like, I don't want people to think it's fake because it's not a fake. And I know people will be like, oh, why is she pretending she's something? It's not fake. Like, if you annoy me or rile me, I will have something to say about it. It's just in my day-to-day life, like in the street or if I walk past someone and they're going to say, I'm going to just get over it and turn the other cheek and whatever because I don't care. If it's my job, and I know it sounds maybe immature, but I quite enjoy it. Like, I quite enjoy the back and forth and the... So if there's a space where I'm allowed to do it, I'm getting paid for it, and, you know, I'm not going to be, like, told off or arrested or whatever, I quite enjoy it. I think it's really fun. But, you know, I've got sort of, like, a wit about me and whatnot where I like doing it. So I'm just grateful that I found a space where I'm allowed to. And they deserve it. Like, I never just go in, like, some people. I'm like, if you want to say something to me, I'll say 10 things back and I'll be funnier, sharper, quicker. And then you'll have to try and beat me up. And that won't happen. So,
It's got some gravity while you're champion, hasn't it, as well? You go essentially and say and do what you want because until you... Until someone comes and takes a bout off you and beats you.
That's it. That's always my thing. I'm like, if you don't like it, like, beat me up on Saturday. Like, that's all you have to do. Like, and if you do, well, they never will. But I always say, like, you'll have to humble me. Someone will have to humble me if they want me to stop, like, because that's the only way. Like, you saying stuff to me or whatever, in my mind, I'm like, I can do and say I'm the best till the cows come home because I currently am, you know, and I will be, and no one's going to take my belt off me or my other belt that I get. And that's it. And you have to deal with it or do something about it. You can't just cry and moan and say, oh, it's not fair. You beat me up. You knock me out. You do something to show everyone that I am this fraud or, you know, I don't deserve it and whatever. And then I'll have to go home with my tail between my legs and cry into, you know, cry into
your cornflakes.
That's it. It's never going to happen.
So with kind of Misfits and boxing, you've got this juxtaposition of this isn't real or this isn't genuine. But what we find with the Jake Paul and AJ fight, that was the changing moment. But for me personally, I think I'm a boxing fan. I like Misfits. I like what you're doing. But that, to me, completely legitimised the hybrid mode of professionals fighting content, or I don't know, he would call himself a boxer now, wouldn't he? Because he boxes.
But
that world and that world. So do you see where your sky's the limit and you've got no ceilings? Something like a Katie Taylor somewhere down the line where, because in towards the end of a career, obviously the undisputed greatest female boxer ever probably. But there's kind of a space, isn't there, where that kind of crossover could potentially become available.
I mean, 100%. I think this is the year where I'm like, I take my boxing very seriously, but this is the year where I'm like, I really want to step it up in terms of just myself and my training and everything I'm doing from my end. And I think definitely with that, I will keep growing. Like, I'm only on my fifth fight. So I think people sometimes forget that. And I am fighting like legit girls that have been fighting all their lives sometimes. But I think definitely... that's the aim, you know. I'll give all the props to Katie Taylor, you know, because I know people will be sitting there thinking, oh, Cardiff's going to beat Katie Taylor.
No, but this is the thing. That's not, it's not
unrealistic.
It's not unrealistic now. Jack Paul just had a fight with Anthony Joshua. And we've had John Peggin. And obviously he's one of the greatest promoters, coaches. There's been around the UK, Europe, the world, really. And obviously he pushes, you know, the importance of legitimate boxing, which is what AJ and that world is. But that's happened on Netflix. Millions of people watched it.
Yeah, and I think it's such a good point of you bringing that up. It is sort of like, and I think that's why we have to give Jake his props now, because he is trying, and I know it's probably hard for him, and it's like, when you can see underneath it all, he has got a passion for boxing. He really does love boxing, you know. I won't give MBF too many props because I'm, you know, Misfits is where it's
at.
But he's doing great things for the women boxers, same as Misfits. Yeah. Like, even people like me, there's no planet where I could go and do what I'm doing in the pro world this late on in my career, with four kids and, you know, a flat.
Oh, you beat me. I've only got three. I thought I was flat.
Perfect. No, they're lovely kids as well. They're such good kids that I wouldn't be able to do it if they wasn't so amazing. But, you know, they are doing great things for the sport. And I think it's like you said, that legitimate, because as much as influencer boxing's fun and cool, no one wants to watch two guys like hugging for five rounds. And I think Misfits.
That's the Tyson thing as well, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly that. And I think they cottoned on to that. And I think we've got Misfits Pros now where it's pros against pros. So you can have your 10 fights on the card and you know you're going to get a guaranteed however many really good high-level boxing, like just on that card that I just fought. There's some really, really good, really good fights. And even the crossover stuff, it's not just like, oh, let's watch two sort of influencers fight. It's not going to be very good. You've got, you know, your influencer and you've got your fighter. It may not be like a boxer. It might have come from, you know, BKFC or UFC or something else where sort of that's their disadvantage. My disadvantage is that I'm just the influencer. Marrying them two worlds to get a good night of boxing and it's not just, you know, really rubbish stuff. I think that's where, like you said, it needs to be legitimized and they're doing really well with it. I think that's where it steers away from, oh, it's just, you know, this is a laughing stock and you can have both.
Well, we had Frankie Gavin in. He wants to come and fight on Misfits.
Yeah, Frankie's great. I actually had some sparring yesterday that he set up for me. Really good sparring, actually. So, love Frankie. And I didn't know too much about his boxing because obviously he's in the Come On BKFC as well on the live show. Yeah. So I had a little look and I'm like, all right, he's a good little boxer. I was like, oh, it's in the presence of Frankie Gavin. It really lovely lad. Like I said, he set up some sparring with me and Ebony Cotton, who just boxed Monty McCann. She came down to Fitness Factory yesterday.
Fitness Factory.
Tell us a bit about Fitness Factory because I don't know an awful lot about it. But
yeah, so obviously Connor's from there. We've got George, Marley, obviously I work with BKFC.
Yeah.
So I started Ringgirling, then sort of transitioned over to their interviewing and stuff like that. So I've been with them since their first show. So know a lot of the guys and stuff like that. Seen them all through BKFC, and I know, you know, Simon and the lads, they all work really hard. Like Connor's a champion.
Yeah.
And you know, shout out everyone there. Just knowing that, you know, gonna be putting my paces there, you know, hard work, very hard work. But like I said, I needed something that was gonna push and elevate me now, and you know, the second bout, this girl's going to be tough. You know, I need to be proven to everyone and I'm the champ and here's some great boxing. I don't just want to scrape by fights and, you know, get unanimouses or splits or whatever. I want to put on a really spectacular sort of display of boxing. And I'm also, I feel really grateful for the position that I'm in. I don't want to take it for granted and just coast and sit around. I really want to, you know,
not be there to make the numbers up.
That's it. And Misfits are so great where, you know, you keep pushing, they'll keep pushing you. And you know, the rewards are sort of uncapped. Like, it's a great promotion to be a part of. And I feel so lucky. Yeah, just want to work really hard this year and get stuck in.
Do you think it'll get to the point again where you come to a crossroads where it's either doing your promotions or fighting? Will it get to that point? Or do you think you'd be able to navigate? And
at
be able
the
to
minute,
both?
In terms of like promotional, obviously I don't Ringo anymore, as I said. I am 36 as well and I've got the kids as well. So it's like, how long do we want to see this lady clamber around the ring in their little pants for? Like,
I said to Chris earlier, is there, so on women's, not necessarily women's boxing, is there going to be ring boys now in 2026?
In a really sexist and mean way. Like, I'm just not here for it.
Yeah, nobody wants to see you.
I've been working, I ain't trying.
One night where we did have some ring boys and they're in like little speedo pants and I won't go into detail, but as they got in the ring and sort of spread the, you know, not here for it.
Yeah.
I feel like men have their role, you know, and, you know, call me sexist. I sometimes get told off, but men have their role. Girls have their roles. I would rather my car be fixed by a man. Sorry, I would. And I'd
fully clothed, not in a pair of boots.
Exactly. And I would rather my kids be looked after by a female nanny. Like, that's just, I think it's best. It's like they're, like you're saying, fully clothed and being masculine. I feel like men are men for a reason because they carry that masculine and dominance and assertiveness and whatnot. And women are there to be kind, to be nurturing. And I think it's obviously why we have a man and a woman that can make a baby, because you need those two sides. I know, like, psychology will argue that you only need one sort of dominant role in your life for a child to grow up healthy and happy. But I do think it's really important that my dad is so sort of fiery and loud, and, or he was so like that. And my mum is so like, they're such opposites. Like, but I think it, if I was just brought up by my dad, my kids would have a very sort of like horrible mum, like not horrible, but do you know what I mean? Right. Like very masculine and you know, when there are times where you do need to be feminine, but if I was just brought up with my mum, I would be just a flake and a flid, and you know, like no disrespect to my mum, but you have to have both elements of it, you know. If I was just that villain Misfits girl all the time, I'd, you know, I'd never have a partner, I'd never be a nice friend, I'd never be compassionate, you know. At the same time, like, I don't want people to walk over me, and you know, I want to have that side of me as well. So, yeah.
How far can this Misfit stuff go? Can you ever imagine a man versus a woman in the Misfits?
It's funny because it's like I feel that whole crossover like circus. People want to see that stuff, and it was mentioned to me, things like that, or like, you know, the small guy against the massive Goliath, like type stuff. And I was like, oh, whatever. I mean, sort of didn't really. But more and more people bring it up, like you do, and I think that is what people want to see. Like, I don't know the legalities of having a man against a woman.
Yeah, whenever I've seen clips of fights like that, it's never nice.
Yeah.
Or maybe like the transgender Olympic champion. Maybe I would like to step in.
But I'm one for as well, like, men are men and they're stronger than us. Like, I'm not that silly where I could ever, even a guy I think that doesn't box, they just possess a greater strength than us. They're man, you know, they were put on this earth to, you know, kill animals for us to feed back in the day, you know, and we would wash in the pans, and that's why men are the way they are. And even in sparring, you know, some of the lads spar the girls in the gym, they're never going to hit you full whack. And if they did, you'd soon know about it. Like, it's just a different type of thing. So I don't think it would ever be. I think there'd have to be some crossover element where to make it fair, but I don't think you can ever make it fair with a man and a woman. I think they're just going to.
So would there be kind of scope then for like transgender fights, where transgender people fight each other?
For me, you know, in that space, I think it's such a, like I said, it's such a dangerous thing when you're mixing that type of, you know, man and woman stuff up. I think, you know, put your transgenders against your transgenders, you know, if you want to put two transgender people against each other, that's fine. I think we have to keep the men are men and not in a horrible way. You know, everyone's allowed to do what they want, but in it, when it comes to sort of safety and
ethics.
Yeah, I think we have to be really careful where we don't put anyone in jeopardy and anything like that, because it's such a dangerous sport. It's such a dangerous sport. Even when I get whacked by some of the girls that are really tough and the pros and stuff, that's hard enough. I don't want to get punched by a man. Thank you very much. No, I'm not here for it.
No.
Yeah.
What's your stance on boxing versus bare knuckle? Because we've had quite a few people talk about that.
I think it's a really good crossover space. You know, with that, we've got a lot of the a lot of my opponents have been bare knuckle. I think it's a good, you know, because sometimes the bare knuckle, not always, sometimes the bare knuckle guys and girls, they don't possess the boxing that obviously the boxers do. A lot of them, it's like, I'm tough and I can have a scrap. And not all of them. There's a very good, like Connor, for example, great amateur, great, looks like a boxer in the ring. You can tell he's come from boxing background. So I think it's a good crossover, because you know, sometimes you don't just want to see a boxer against a boxer. Okay, that's cool. Where's the niche here and whatnot?
Okay, so UFC growing, weren't it, with wrestlers and
jiu-jitsu? Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, so I think it's really good. I think we need to get more of the guys for it, because to be honest, I can't think of a lot of men that have come over to Misfits.
We were stirring the pot a little bit with some of the clips we put out, wasn't we? With Connor and Frankie, but we caused this conversation to be had that Frankie come in.
That would be a great fight, actually, to be fair. I don't know about the weights. I always struggle with all the weights. My memory's not good enough, but that would be a good fight.
I think Connor's a bit bigger, isn't
he?
Yeah. It's really weird because Connor doesn't look big until he is big. Yeah. I know it's really weird, but I think it's because he's quite toned and he works.
You know
really
what?
Hard.
That's what I was going to ask you. As a woman, I understand with men, Frankie was telling us about the things they used to have to do for weight cutting. He had a bike in a sauna for 2 hours for the Olympics. How do you, what, you shouldn't ask a woman about weight, should you? I'm stepping all over Sabu's here. But how do you find weight? Do you have to do much around weight cutting, or do you walk around pretty much?
No, so I walk around like 63, 64, and I fight at 52. It was 50, so my belt was 112. Now it's 115 because just finding enough girls at 112, I think they couldn't really do it. A lot of people weren't making weight or being able to make it. It's a hard weight, especially for me. Like, I'm no athlete. Like, I'm just me. And I don't say it to sort of make excuses and whatever, but I'm like, let's keep it realistic. I'm just me. It is really hard. To be honest, now I sort of, I'm disciplined. I know what to do. That the last fight that I just had, I actually missed weight by 0.4 pounds, which is, you know, been a great talking point. I think Taylor will be talking about that, you know, 2027 with our kids at the table at Christmas. Like, and do you remember when Connor missed weight? Like, bore off. But I think people have to understand that that was my first overseas fight. I know I give it the stacks on the way in and I laugh. So I said, I don't care or whatever, but I did care. I do really care. I did feel bad. I'm a professional. I'm supposed to be professional. I didn't just go, can't bother to make weight, actually, I'm not going
to
do it.
Is it like Conor Ben and you had to buy her a like Lamborghini or something?
I did have a fine, yes. I did have a fine. I'll actually let you guys know it's a $2,000 fine. So yeah, I know some people like to hear the numbers and stuff. Yeah.
So it's not know, like a slap on the wrist.
And it goes to her. So this is why I was like, why are you crying, babe? Like 0.4 pounds is not going to affect the fight in any way. And the way it works is, as it's a championship bout, you have to sit down and discuss. Her team could have said no.
They I was going
to
say, did they have the option to say, yeah, the bout?
They were perfectly happy until she lost. Then she started tiny tears. She could have said, no, that's not on. And, you know, like, people miss weight. It's not like, especially by such a small amount. And, you know, like I said, I'm not a professional. I'm sure, like, it wasn't a hard thing to make that extra 0.4. Like, I'm just me, and, you know, it was my first fight overseas. I put on, like, a kg on the flight. And it's no excuse, because I'm sure the same would have happened to her, you know? And that's why I didn't argue my fine. Take my fine. I can only apologise. Apologise to her, sort of, my coach and everyone they spoke. And that was it. But they were raging. And it wasn't so much her. It was more the husband was just really angry. And I was like, would you get over it? Because you could say, no, we don't want to fight. And then they were moaning about every little thing that happened. We were treated like this. She was moaning that she had a male groin guard on. Like, I had a male groin guard on. No one cares. Like, is the women's groin guards are harder to find, and you didn't bring your own because you're unprofessional. I didn't bring mine because I don't care about groin guards and I don't even like wearing them. So I'm like, oh, whatever, who cares? But that's your own thing. Like, and she really slated Misfits after, and really.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad. She's still going on. I think like, she put up another status like 2 days ago, and yeah, the fight was on the 20th of December. Like, I think she either didn't put her invoice in on time, or she didn't accommodate for the fact that there's public holidays around Christmas. So I think it's like 10 days or something, whatever you get paid, which is pretty good going. Yeah. I've worked for a lot of promotions. 30
times is our standard commercial.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like, stop your crying. You've got an extra $2,000 in your pocket, and they pay us sharp. And if you don't put in your paperwork and stuff, they will be, they're really lovely and helpful. Please put it in. Whereas I'm sure you've worked with companies that won't tell you, and they'll be like, brilliant, she's not put it in. We've got another 30 days. Like, they're so helpful. And she was going on, and I was like, do you think I've rang them up and gone, oh, can you not pay her for an extra week? What is that going to do for me anyway? Because my deduction's my deduction anyway. It's not like I get to keep it for a
minute. That's where they're right. Literally, they're into conspiracy of even.
Yeah, she was like, there were so many. It was like I got given a male groin guard, and now I was actually worn the groin guard that was the same. I was left outside waiting for my face off and stuff. I was there with her. Like, we were both waiting, and we were waiting because everyone else was doing their face-offs. It's not like,
well, that for that, you were in like a low, cozy.
Yeah, it's not like I was sitting there with biscuits and she was like out in the winds. Like, and then when we got in the room, I'd forgotten my belt. So I went, oh no, my belt. So that was like 2 minutes. She was like, oh, I was left waiting in the room. I was like, it was in my hotel room, and I actually just ran next door and got the other belt from the girls that were fine. Then we went, oh, there's one next door. So that was 2 seconds. Like, then she had they had the chairs, you know, when they do they want you to sit backwards on the chair. So it's like really aggressive. And I was in a little pink dress, and I was like, oh no, I can't straddle the chair in my little pink dress. And she was like, she was being a diva, demanding this and that. And I was like, no, I just didn't want like my,
show your pants off.
Yeah, to be honest. Like, and she was like, she came in making all these demands, and saying the team won't help with that. They're so lovely, the guys at Misfits. Then it was the commissioner against me. Carla's paying off the judges. Just really stupid stuff. And I'm like, hun, she comes from boxing. There's no paying. It's like someone suggesting the ref's been paid. It's such a far-fetched, ridiculous statement to make about me as well. Like, why me? Why not fix the commission when KSI and Tommy Fury fought? Because they really wanted KSI to win, obviously. He's their guy. Tommy won. Why didn't they pay for them? Why is it little old Carla's, you know? And I think it's because I give off the diva and I'm a princess, people automatically will think. But it's a real pick me, like, feel sorry victim mentality.
I was gonna say, to be fair, from what you've done to her face, I don't think she's come away from it thinking, oh, she's.
And do you know what, Sophie? I'm glad you brought that up because she said, I came totally unblemished from that fight. She ruined my fight kit. It was covered in blood. She was not unblemished. And
she said she was unblemished.
Yeah, she put herself, she didn't even blemish me. And I was like, babe, even if I didn't, which I did, your record's blemished, isn't it, hun? So take that and chonk right on. And do you know what's crazy is, like, she said she was going to knock me out in round one or two. She didn't come close to knocking me out. And she won, I'd say, the first one or two rounds. I came out slow. It's just the fighter I am. I am inexperienced. It's not like she battered me or she was battering me or doing anything. Like, I've got a great chin, even the shots she were landing. And there were some big shots. Yeah. I took the shots. I'll take the shots all day long. It's just with me coming out aggressive. Sometimes I need to be hit as well. And then I'm like, all right, let's go. And I know that's, like, not the greatest technique, but I'm learning. I'm only five fights in. And for me, I would be very disappointed in myself if I were her, because nothing was good enough from her apart from her beating the living daylights out of me and putting on a very dominant performance from start to finish and battering me. You know, even if my face wasn't messed up, even in just in the ring, showing I'm the professional here. And from round 3, 4, and 5, you wouldn't be able to tell who was a professional, I don't think, in my opinion.
She couldn't get inside, didn't
she? She couldn't. And it was just, like I said, me being confident and knowing, like, I've beat Taylor all day long. That's why I said, you want a rematch? Come and have a rematch. I think she's sort of burned her bridges, but I'm open for a rematch whenever. I'll always give anyone, apart from Darren, it was such a clear sort of thing. I think it'd be pointless to have a rematch. But if there's a reason or a calling or the public are asking for it, I'll always rematch it. And it's so funny that she doesn't want the rematch, and she doesn't want it because, oh, it's fixed and it's this lot. Like, it's stupid. It's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing for a professional fighter and a grown woman to say that. And I touched on it the other day. Her fight, she had a fight with a girl called Shelby. And she got a lot of stick in the comments, and it was, you got that fixed because you're blonde and you're more Marcus Ford than this Shelby girl. You got given that fight. It was everywhere, like, really bad. The only people that were saying anything unfair was Taylor's fat friends. Like, no one else, no one from the boxing world, no one from the scene or anything said that, you know, there was anything wrong with the decision on their fight, apart from her and her things. On this one, everyone was like, but her argument was, fights don't get fixed. What are you talking about? So it's like, it's okay when it's on your side. Yeah. And I think with the Melanie, because we got a draw on that, and that one wasn't a great performance on my end. For that, it was, Melanie's not very marketable. Carla's the, you know, more marketable person, blah, blah. Taylor was more marketable than me. You know, she's a pretty girl. She's got 100,000+ followers. She's more well-known than me. You know, be it so for just that viral, her face getting punched in clip, you know, she still is more well known than me. She would have been a great champion. Misfits would have been happy to have, and I'm sure they would have been happy to have Mel as well, but I'm just playing the, you know, that argument of, oh, it's because of this, that and the other. They would have been happy to have her, you know, and it doesn't work like that. And I don't know in what planet people think that people can pay judges and stuff like that, and like, but I'm flattered because I'm like, I just love that people think that I'm just influential. Well, yeah. So I'm like, fine then, I'm better than you, and I think I might just play into it from now on. Yeah, yeah, actually, I'm so good, and they love me so much that they're
start carrying, you know, like the cartoon bags with the dollar signs on, or the gravity bags, slash bag.
Yeah,
swag.
And it's funny because I think
the Hamburglar,
when I had to pay the fine, it was the premises of Carla doesn't care. It's just $2,000, sir. And I'm like, I don't know what planet people think that I'm some millionaire. I've got loads of money. Like, that hurt me. It was Christmas as well. I said, it's Christmas. I've got 4 kids. And like I said, like, pulling it back and being serious, that wasn't good on my end. Like, that's, you know, I didn't want to lose, miss weight. I didn't want to be unprofessional. Yeah. I didn't want, I think as well that bought into her, oh, it was fixed for her because it made me look unprofessional. It didn't, you know.
But again, they're within the rods there to qualify, so now it's fine, okay.
Yeah.
After the fact, it loses its integrity, doesn't
it? Yeah, yeah. So it's just like, please shut up. And all these things that she was saying was so bad. Like we both had to have pregnancy tests. We don't use your unusual card, so it was a new thing for me as well. But we had to go and have blood pregnancy tests on fight week. And she was like, oh, I got sent to the wrong hospital. They set me up. And we were like, I got sent to the wrong hospital. It was just an admin error. So we both got sent to them. We had to come all the way back. It was really annoying, I'm not going to lie. But human error, like,
Any post experience of it.
Yeah, and she was like, it was so against me. But she doesn't know these things. So it's like, no, dummy. That happened to me too. And I did sob my eyes out. I just got over it. It's fight week. It's what we're there to do, our commitments anyway. What were you doing? Playing the violin? Did you have a violin concert you had to get to? Like, what is it else that you had going on? Because all she done was cry and look miserable all week. I was like, at least it got you up. And so I'm like, got a bit of blood rushing through you because you were, so it was unreal. I can't tell you how much things she moaned about. And like I said, she didn't on fight week pull that up to people and say, I'm not happy.
Well, I know when you were when you're doing your head, you were saying she made no effort with the TikToks and the interactions.
Like,
and
she done nothing. And you don't, like I said, I'm not a content creator, but make it. And it doesn't even have to be forced. And she was like, I'm not a horrible person. Go and watch her prior fights. She is a horrible, not horrible, but she gives it stack. She was like grabbing the other girl's belt. I think they set up something where she went and found out where she was, met her and grabbed her belt off of her and got everyone to film
it.
She's a little nasty piece of work when she works.
Didn't you say yours as well? Don't touch that belt.
Yeah, because that's why I said it to her. I said, you want to run around playing like big shot, touch that belt, I dare you. And that was the only difference. It was, I think I was just a genuine threat to her. She made out, I'm just a bigger, better person. No, you're not. You've come unstuck and you know that if you say anything to me or do anything, you're going to have a hard time about it. So I think that's where that came from. And she tried to really play the, I'm better than everyone else. Like, no, you know. And I think the last time she done that and grabbed the girl's belt, she quit in the fight with a couple of, I think it was like a minute in, and she was like crying to the corner, like, I can't do it. So I think she's just learned her lesson and realised, you know, if you want to, like I said, if I want to pipe up, I've got to back it up and not get knocked out in the second round, like she said she was going to, and not have things like that. Otherwise, I will look like an idiot like she looked, but no, still got my belt. It's really weird that they don't, and especially Melanie, because Melanie got a draw. So if anyone warranted a rematch, like me and Taylor's fight wasn't close. Me and Melanie, like I was injured for the fight. For the last 3 weeks of the camp, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't skip. It was sort of like we just had to, I couldn't do my cardio. So the weight cut was not good. That was if you watch me fighting in that, you can see like it's not a great performance for me. I'll hold my hands up and say that. Had a chat with the team and I was like, we're not going to lose. I know she's not got anything that she can beat me or anything like that, but it's not going to be some spectacular display of boxing from me. But, you know, they pay well. I'd already mentally spent my purse. I was like, well, I've got the kids. Yeah. I was like, we're not pulling out. We've got to just get through. I think, disrespect to Mel, so I don't like her, but if it was a better opponent and someone that I thought was going to trouble me, I would have been like, no, we can't go in there on this like this because, you know. But if anything, Mel warranted a rematch because we got a draw. Taylor, it's just like, you know, it's just quite pathetic, like that she's crying and moaning. But again, Melanie doesn't want the rematch either. And it's just very odd, especially like Melanie hasn't had a fight since we fought. You'd think she would want to, you know.
Yeah.
Bring home some more money or, you know, stay in the thing. I'm sure Taylor will fight at BKFC, but she will forever have to have that I lost to the ring girl. And I was a BKFC ring girl as well, so it's very much you lost. And I had whispers from sort of like the community before, and it was like, if Taylor doesn't absolutely make a spectacle of you, like she's had 15 BKFC fights alone, let alone anything else she's done, it's a bad day in the office for her. So I think the only thing she could then do is say it was unfair and I was set up and rah, 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 so she can go back to her people and feel okay and look okay about it. Otherwise, it's like you just lost to a ring girl, and that's what's happened. And it's not a great look, I'm afraid.
So, what is the future? What's the pinnacle? Where do you go? This is who I want to. Who do you want to knock out? Who do you want to knock out if you had a wish list?
I mean, just someone, because I've not had a knockout yet. So I'll keep it real. Dropped a few girls in sparring. It's funny because I remember on my first fight, I was like, yeah, I'm going to knock her out. And my coach pulled me aside and went, yeah, you've not knocked anyone out in sparring. So you're not going to be knocking anyone out. I probably would stop saying that because you're going to let... And it was a nice little sort of reality check. So then I
bumped down to earth.
That was it, yeah. And I'm like, first, yeah. And I've stopped a few girls in sparring and knocked a couple of girls out. So when I done that, and I was like, oh yes, now I'm gonna be able to knock people out and put on like more really fights like that. So I think just transitioning that into fight night, because sometimes there is nerves and stuff. I know I come across really confident, but it's not so much like actual on the ground there's, but it's like the subconscious, let's not, you know, let's just do this. I think that's why I start off slow a lot, because I think the inexperience of even just sparring and stuff, we're doing a lot more sparring now. I just need that experience, I think. And like I said, I'm going against like really tough girls. So if I can, I think as much as people would be like, oh, maybe you should have took some influences first, because these girls, I could knock out the influencer girls all day long, but I'm coming up against tough girls that, you know, they've got the techers. They're
durable.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, they've got the techers to avoid the shots, they move, they're not just standing in front of you and things like that. When I knock someone out on that level, it will be even more of a like, because I'm sure if I would have done it before, it would have been like, oh, well, they're only this, that and the other, you know. So, yeah, that's it. I want all the knockouts. I want all the fight bonuses. I want this year to be a real... I'm really excited for this next fight. Pearl's a great fighter as well. So I think it will be a real statement fighting her. And she doesn't come across as a whiner. I know I always give people their props and then they always, like, let me down with it. But she doesn't come across as... she's going to be difficult or claim, like, whatever. I think, you know, once I beat her... I think she will just be like our fair game and probably ask for a rematch or whatnot. I've got a feeling like this one will be a less wimpy, whiny, like, because God, she did whine, that Taylor. I said, if you listen really quietly, you can still hear her crying in the distance.
Isn't the problem if you batter this next one though, Pearl, that people will be like, no one wants to fight?
And you know, like, that's why I was like, having these slow starts, maybe it did. I'm always thinking of like the silver lining. Maybe it worked in my favour because I wouldn't have got the belt shot. Maybe she would have been like, oh no, even though it was contracted, so she would have sort of had no choice. But maybe she should have been like, no. I think people still look at me like, oh, she's just the influencer, you know, she can be beat. And that's why I really want to put on like these statement fights.
Maybe then you get the actual more boxers.
Yeah,
even
yeah.
more so than BKFC fighters, then having it going, especially if there's a payday there for them.
Yeah, 100%. And that's, you know, I want to just keep climbing, keep pushing, get as much as I can.
The brand then as well, your own brand, but the brand of the...
Yeah, 100%. And I think when Elle was here, Elle fought Paige VanZant, and, you know, no disrespect to Paige, she's not a boxer, she's not a great, even her record's not that great. I think that's the sort of, like, pinnacle of people that people have fought. We've got Judy Pocker. She's fought some tough BKFC girls, but no one really that you would be like, whoa. I think I want to be the first one to be like, wow, because you've got it on the boys' side where they're fighting, you know, people that can actually box and stuff. So I think I want to be, you know, that girl, like, she's fighting some decent people, and give her a props. And it's nice because I think I already get the props from that. I'm around the boxing scene a lot, and it's nice when people are like, oh no, you know, I watched your fight the other day, you know, when I'm at shows and promotions and things, but like, oh, you're really good. I think it's nice to be able to give the influencers that, like, and the girls and the ring girls and stuff, like, I am more to, you know, just, I'm sure a lot of people would want me to just fail and not be very good and stuff like that. So it's nice to to sort of Pretty yeah have that. Unless they're all just scared and they're saying it because they don't get beaten up.
Exactly that, I think. Yeah, exactly that. Well, we'll be definitely rooting for you in 2026.
Thank you so much. I can't
keep
wait.
Keep a close eye on.
I can't
on.
Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited. But yeah, I'll come down with my second belt. I have to get a bigger table.
Yeah, we'll bigger do, box. We'll do it in a couple of boxes along yeah. Get your belt on.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Perfect. Brilliant. Thanks for your time, Carl.
Thank you. Cheers.